When you get done with your housekeeping, Judge Wallach, when you get done with your housekeeping, you want to move place. I'll pull your back instead of. Thank you.
Just as long as I don't cripple.
No, this is good. I still got it. Yeah, I know. I got some stuff in here.
Let me go ahead and.
I think we're ready to go. Please proceed.
Your Honor, Bill Gady for 23 and Me.
Before you get going, I just have a question of both counsel for all of us. Do you do dogs too?
You do, don't you? Don't dogs get testing?
We invalidated the patent on that a couple months ago.
I'm joking, but we actually did. Sorry.
Well, we're talking about human relatives here, Your Honor.
We did, yeah.
Your Honor, 23andMe invented a new and useful process for finding relatives of a predicted degree in a database. The patent's title states it. Finding relatives in a database. That's what the claims are directed to. That's at APX 41 on the cover of the patent.
Can I just ask you a house?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I should have started. This is just housekeeping.
Absolutely.
Just in your briefing, you refer to some of the asserted claims. 7, 12,
yes.
14, 22, 31, and 38. And you call them the IBD claims. And you argue these are patent eligible. That list doesn't include some of the other claims that are involved here, 5, 17, 32 through 34, and 37
yep.
in the same way. So is your appeal only with regard to these IBD claims?
No, Your Honor. First, two things there. There's a slight error in our brief where we identified 38 as an IBD claim. It's actually 37. I don't think that changes anything,
okay.
but it's there. But secondly, as to the other claims, they're addressed at the back of our brief for the separate reasons as to why those are patentable subject matter as well in our blue brief.
So are these the claims asserted are illustrative or representative? They're just illustrative. Right?
The claims, I think there's really two classes in the IBD claims
mm-hmm.
that you can look at. Claim 7 and then claim 12, which the district court didn't even address. And they are not the same, and they are separately pled in the complaint. Mm-hmm. And there are separate factors that distinguish those claims that the district court never reached. For the IBD claims, I think you can look at those two, 7 and 12. They are distinct, though. And we never said that those were representative, that 12 was representative of 7. In fact, we very clearly call out the differences in the claims.
In the red brief, Ancestry yep. contend you make new assertions in the blue brief regarding your argument about whether the district court ignored the claims dip that the IBD region information is artificially manipulated. Are those new assertions? It's in the red brief of 37 to 39.
No, not at all, Your Honor. We very specifically argued the limitation in claim 7 of identifying and locating the IBD and then throughout the genome, which varies from individual to individual, and then two, the addition step that is in there that is the next step in the claim 7. So we very clearly argue that in multiple different ways at the district court level.
I'm going to ask Ancestry the same question, so take note, please. But I want to hear your answer. In the red brief at 49, Ancestry argues that nothing in the claim requires varying degrees of relatedness between separate sets of individuals, and instead is limited to language about a greater amount of DNA indicates a closer relationship. Is there claim language that supports the varying degree of relatedness?
No, I think that that's actually incorrect. To the contrary, the claims specify that a greater amount of DNA sequence information of the IBD regions indicates a closer predicted degree of relationship. And if I could focus in.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I think the important part is, stepping back, so we have three fundamental points. First, on claim 12. The very specific way in claim 12 of identifying the IBD regions that are expressly claimed in there, and the rules are set out in claim 12, Nowhere did the district court address those issues. And those are as an unconventional, new technique used and identified in the specification to identify specifically IBD as part of this overall process, which is, what, of course, what the claim is directed to. So the district court...
I guess I'm quite unclear on your argument about the IBD.
Sure.
IBD regions aren't man-made, right? They're naturally occurring.
No, I can't agree with that, Your Honor. 2 points. First, IBD regions are defined using man-defined rules to identify them, where they are exist throughout the chromosomes, and they vary from individual to individual. It's not a static concept like the gene is, for example, in BRCA1, where it's always in the same place at the same location in all the chromosomes. It varies depending upon the individual using the rules. Point number two is, even if you say IBD is naturally occurring, the claim here is not directed to IBD. The claim here is directed to a new and novel process for relatives to find each other through the database and through the specific steps
that are
identified.
Okay, so why don't we look at claim seven? I've got claim seven here. What is it that's new and novel? You talk about manipulation a great deal, and I'm not sure what you claim, what the claims actually deal with in terms of manipulation.
Sure, two things. Well, first, you asked what is new and novel. The overall process is new and novel, and there's nothing that indicates in this record that any of the steps of, first of all, determining the predicted degree relationship between two users by IBD is routine. That's in first step.
Well, secondly, I thought we were dealing with step one. So now you're talking about step two, that these steps are not routine and conventional. So that's your issue, that even this is if this is a law of nature, these steps are more than routine?
Well, even if there's a law of nature underlying it, as is clear from the cell's direct case,
right,
a new and novel method that is useful for individual relatives to find each other is patentable subject
matter.
Okay,
so show me what you claimed in terms of that new and novel method. One of the things I know you argue is that you tell them about it. Oh, that's in claim one, that you notify them.
Absolutely. Well, two things.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It's the whole process that is identified in claim one and seven as a whole, all of the steps. So what are those steps? First of all, the individual has to deposit their DNA information in the database.
No one's ever done that? That's not routine and conventional, that for doing testing you deposit your DNA in a database?
DNA going into the database can be, sure, that was done before.
Okay.
But it's a combination here. Secondly, going through and using the IBD information to predict the precise degree of relationship. There's nothing in the record that indicates that step is new, was routine and conventional.
But what is that step?
Yeah.
You keep talking about it and just asserting that it's not routine and conventional, but who cares if it's not routine and conventional if that step itself is using a law of nature or an abstract idea?
Well, simply because a claim may use a law of nature or an abstract idea doesn't doom the claim to patent ineligibility. For example, in the
cell... Sure. Alice says if your claim is directed to an abstract idea, if you can show something more than just the abstract idea, then it might be patent eligible. But that doesn't mean you can rely on the abstract idea for the something more. You have to show the something more outside of the abstract idea or the natural law.
Isn't your point that nobody had taken that information and manipulated it in the way that you're describing?
Exactly. That the point is that
what
you
do
take
you mean by manipulation?
Sure. So
let's look at the claims. Tell us what the claims say about manipulation.
So, first of all, let me start with claim 12.
Okay. Why don't you start with manipulation, which is what we just asked you?
Well, I'm going to identify steps of manipulation.
I would appreciate, can we do claims 1 and 7, or are those different than, that claim 12 can't be the only thing you say there's manipulation on, right?
Well, why don't we look
I happen to have these claims right in front of me.
Oh.
So 1 and 7. So can you?
Sure.
You are claiming this novel or whatever.
Sure. So what you're doing is you have to go search the DNA information between two individuals using the define parameters to identify the IBD regions. And, of course, it varies. If I may have an IBD region that is common with Your Honor, but it'd be different for someone else. They're not static like a gene. Because what you're doing is identifying...
Okay, but they're not man-made, so they exist in nature.
The DNA exists in nature, but the manipulation of the information...
Okay, tell me, what does... Show me... It doesn't use the word manipulation, right? That word isn't in the claims. I'm looking at 7.
Your Honor, right in Claim 7, it says the predicted degree includes identifying one or more inheritance by descent regions.
I'm looking at Claim 7. So where are you?
In where the first step where it says determining.
The predicted relationship between the first user and the second user, yeah.
That's right.
You identify one or more IBD regions.
So in a portion of the DNA, so that requires two things. First, you have to identify the IBD region, which has to be of a specific length, and also similarity. The further manipulation in claim 12 comes in that step.
Well, what, is there manipulation? Are you conceding that there's no manipulation in claims 1 and 7, there's only manipulation in claim 12?
No.
Why do you keep going back to 12 when I'm asking you to focus on
7? I'm sorry, I just wanted to bring that into that step in claim 12.
Okay, is the word manipulation in claim 7? No, right?
The express word is not, but then in the third step, where it says the amount of DNA sequence information of the IBD regions includes a sum of the lengths. So a number of...
Is that what you mean by manipulation, that you add stuff together?
Absolutely, Your Honor, because we're putting the data in a form that it doesn't exist in nature. But my point is, fundamentally, even if that is not... Even if there is a law of nature... that is involved here?
Yeah.
Application in a new process, a useful process for two relatives to find each other, that is patentable subject matter.
Well, it seems to me, maybe I want to understand, your definition of manipulation seems to be comparing the DNA information between two individuals.
No, it's not just a simple comparison. Because you take the DNA information that exists that's in common with a common ancestor.
Uh-huh.
You go through the 23 chromosomes, you locate all of that, you identify that, and then you further add it up and find a percentage. And then from that, you can now make in a man-made construct a prediction as to the relative relatedness.
Well, isn't this what we're calling summing? Isn't that pretty conventional and routine?
In this context, no. The concept of summing, of course, exists.
Well, isn't
there's
that
no
what,
evidence.
What step two is about? I mean, as Judge Hughes pointed out, you can't go back to the abstract idea or the natural phenomenon and say nobody's ever done this before. If you have an arbitration procedure and you've never done it on a computer, but it's a general purpose computer, you can't win on step two because it's a general purpose computer, but it's never been applied to this natural law or this abstract idea. Do we agree on what the law is here? Do you agree with what I just said?
I agree that if there's a prior process they just put it on a computer, that is likely not patentable subject matter. But that's not the case here. What we have here is similar to, for example...
What about combining two different... Let me back up. Combining a conventional method... Well, let me just ask you. Ariosa, right? Completely novel procedure, but contained of elements, one of which is detecting DNA, which is, we found, I think, was a law of nature, and then use conventional laboratory techniques to identify all of that. So it combined two separate things that were either routine and conventional or directed to an ineligible idea in a way that nobody had ever done it before. But that combination of those two things was not sufficient to establish eligibility. Isn't that what we have here? We have a several different, you know, you can describe them as a law of nature. Some of them may be on the border between law of nature or abstract idea,
right,
depending on how you consider math. Yeah. But you're combining two or more ineligible ideas and saying, well, it results in a new procedure. but how is that eligible under Ariosa and Alice and our prior precedent?
So, first of all, there's more steps in the process that are new and unconventional that are defined in the claims, such as how to identify the IBD region, which, of course, is in Claim 12. That's a very specific process that is nowhere in the prior art, and nowhere has that been deemed to be routine and conventional.
But is it not just directed to the natural idea of looking at a certain segment of the DNA and then using that natural law of DNA to make a comparison? How is that different?
No.
I'm going to make the same comparison. Mm-hmm. You're looking at DNA. You're looking at a specific portion of DNA, and it may be different parts and different things for different people, but you're ultimately looking at DNA. Isn't that exactly what they did in Ariosa, which was nobody ever understood that there was sufficient DNA from the fetus circulating in the maternal blood to pull it out and do genetic testing for birth defects or other conditions? But all it was really directed to was that DNA. Isn't yours just directed to a specific type of identifying a certain segment of DNA?
No, Your Honor.
Take Ariosa and modify it and say that instead of conventional and routine testing, they had developed something that was unconventional and totally novel, and apply that hypothetical.
So in that hypothetical, and I think you see that in, for example, in the recent en banc decisions, that the case law holds that the en banc denial of Athena.
Well, none of those are binding.
I understand. I just want to make the point, though, that first, what that is an indication of something is whether the claim is directed to unpatentable subject matter. If you have a new and unconventional technique in the claim, that doesn't mean that the claim then is directed to unpatentable subject matter. And so, for example, in the cells direct case, you have the cells that are frozen and unfrozen, and then you just have the additional step of cryopreserving those cells. So that's an example where there was a new technique that was not conventional, that was part of being directed. But secondly, even if we go to the second step of Alice, which of course is what the complaint has alleged, and there's no evidence to the contrary that these techniques that are identified here were not, new, that then under the inventive concept. So what is the inventive concept? It's not IBD. I'm sorry, what?
I think you have one too many negatives in that statement.
I may have, Your Honor. I apologize for that. My point being that in step two, there are separate concepts that are alleged as to how to go through the process of identifying those IBD regions that vary from individual to individual, and they're not static in the individual. So unlike the BRCA1 gene, which is static, it's in a certain location, when you go through the IBD in this process, you're trying to identify these regions that have a common ancestor with each other. You then manipulate that in a new way to add that up. And from that, you can now predict the relative degree of relatedness.
Okay.
And so that's a new step and a new method.
We'll restore some rebuttal. You've exceeded your time.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mark Selwyn for Ancestry. The 554 patent is not based on any new technique or device for genetic testing or genetic sequencing or any new device or technique for DNA genotyping.
I'm not sure I understand your friend's argument, but it seems to be that at least the non-routine, non-conventional part is they've come up with a new way of identifying this IDV region, setting a rules for what it is, and that identifying it in each individual person is something that they're the only person that came up with it, and it came up with different ways. To me, it all just sounds like finding a portion of a DNA that may be different for each people, but is still directed to looking at DNA. But do you have, what is in their language, are they actually doing with this IDB stuff?
So, most generously read, they are pointing to the summing step as the inventive concept. summing.
Is that what they keep calling manipulation?
Yes. Now, manipulation is a new word on this appeal. It was not used at all before the district court.
And it's not in the claims.
Right? And it's not in the claims. And it was not only not used that word, but in substance it wasn't used either. And there's a reason for that. And that's because summing is not a form of manipulation of DNA. Summing does not change or manipulate the DNA or any genetic information. Rather, it just aggregates the length of the IBD regions or the percentage of DNA shared. And that's why the district court correctly found that summing, quote, simply reflects the basic and conventional principle that the more DNA that is shared, the closer the relationship. And if we look at the
specific... that's basic science.
Well, not only is it basic science, Your Honor, but it's a computational method that can be done in the human mind. And as this court held in the CyberSource case, computational methods like summing that can be performed entirely in the human mind are the basic tools of scientific discovery and technological work that are free to all to use. And if we look at the specification itself to try to understand what this summing is all about, there's a single paragraph in the specification that refers to it. It's column 7, lines 33 through 56. And it merely says, with reference to figure 5, that in some embodiments, the amount of DNA shared includes the sum of the lengths of the IBD regions and or a percentage of DNA shared, which essentially just recites the claim language itself. Then the rest of that paragraph describes boxes 508 and 510 of figure 5. And figure 5 is just a series of boxes that say determining a predicted relationship and or range of relationships based on the number of shared segments and amount of DNA of the users. That is fundamentally a law of nature. And that paragraph actually concludes by summarizing the applicable natural phenomena. It says, in each subsequent degree of relationship, the number of shared segments is approximately half of the previous number. That is not a discovery by 23andMe, and even if it were, it would be an unpatentable law of nature. Now, the other thing that has been suggested in 23andMe's brief, although it wasn't suggested below, is that the notification step has some novelty to it.
Well, before you get there, I'm going to ask you what I said I'd ask you in relation to your red brief 49 argument. Is there claim language that supports the varying degrees of relationships?
There are. Well, two responses to that. The language on page 49 of our brief was referring to an example about Ashkenazi Jews that was pointed to by 23 in its brief. That was not raised at all below. And our point there was that there is nothing in the asserted claims that requires determining varying degrees of relatedness between separate sets of individuals based on their genetic background, which was what the example of Ashkenazi Jews was used for. The claims are rather simply directed to detecting the predicted degree of relationship between two individuals. And in fact, if we look at the example of figure 7 in the Ashkenazi community, it says and confirms the basic law of nature that the more recombinable DNA that is shared, the closer the relationship. Let me address the notification step, because that was suggested to be some way novel here. First, 23andMe did not argue in the district court that the invention was directed in any way to notifying a person of a result under Mayo Step 1, or that the notification step provided an inventive concept under Step 2. And the patent doesn't claim any new way of notifying. To the contrary, if you look at the specification, it emphasizes, it goes out of its way to say that the notification step is routine. At column 3, line 65, through column 4, line 2, for example, the specification gives us examples of notification, sending messages or alerts. There could hardly be a more routine way of notifying a user. And then immediately after that sentence about sending messages or alerts as a way to notify, the specification adds, other notification techniques are possible, which further reinforces that notifying is routine post-solution activity.
Okay. Overall, is failure to analyze all three independent claims by the district court upon which the claims asserted depend in Alice, step two, reversible error?
No, the court did, in fact, look at all of the independent claims. The independent claims are not asserted, but under step two, the court looked to figure out what in the patent as a whole goes to the goes to the detecting that was identified as being the claimed invention. And what the court found was comparison, right? That is what is suggested in the claims to do the detection. And the court rightly said comparison, that can't be an inventive concept. That's just simply comparing two things. So then the district court went a step further and said, okay, let me give the benefit of the doubt to 23andMe. Let's go to its proposed inventive concept as of summing. And it analyzed that as well and correctly found that summing is just a restatement of the natural law. And then it went even one step further and said, well, what about these IBD regions? Can that be considered an inventive concept? And it correctly found, no, it can't. And if Your Honors look at the transcript of the argument below, it was conceded, and this is at 806 of the transcript, that IBD regions were out there. It's in the prior art.
You in footnote 11 in the red brief, you argue that claims 5, 8, 17, 32, and 38 fail to pass the Alice framework. Where did the district court conduct that analysis?
Well, the district court first looked to what the claims were directed to, and it correctly found that they were directed to the law of nature, including those claims, that the more recombinable DNA... I'm sorry?
Where did the district court discuss 5, 8, 17, 32, and 38?
Your Honor, it... At pages 4 and 5 of the opinion, recited all of the claims, went through what the claims are directed to, and indeed that was what 23andMe suggested the court should do at Alice Step 1, which is to say, look at the gist of the claims to figure out what they are directed to. The court clearly looked at all of the claims and assessing what it was directed to, and also considered what 23andMe identified in that regard as well. On this question of IBD regions and whether they are naturally occurring or not, they certainly are. They're an inherent characteristic within naturally recombinable DNA of Your Honors, of everybody in this room. The same is true for SNP markers. They describe an inherent relationship with a naturally occurring recombinable DNA. And the concept of consecutive opposite homozygous cells, that too is an inherent characteristic within naturally occurring DNA. So this is a case like Ariosa, where the location of the nucleic acid existed in nature before the inventors found it. And even the technique for identifying IBD regions is described in the patent at column 16, lines 14 through 16, as being standard. Quote, the standard SNP-based genotyping technology results in genotype calls, each having two alleles. And then in columns 6 and 7, it reads a little bit like a biology or genetics primer on genetics, explaining how the, quote, standard SNP-based genotyping can be used to identify naturally occurring IBD regions to determine the relationship between two users. In figure 6, which is an example of Alice and Bob, shows their naturally occurring SNP sequences and the relationship between both of them. So, Your Honors, in conclusion, the patent impermissibly claims naturally occurring characteristics of the human genome and naturally occurring relationships among those characteristics between relatives. In comparing segments of recombinable DNA to find relatives relies fundamentally on relationships that exist in nature apart from any human intervention. Those are laws of nature. Those are basic tools of scientific and technical work that Mayo and this court's precedent makes clear must be free for all to use.
If one had an insight about a law of nature, about an analysis of genes, and they realize that particular sections of genes that are not intuitively comparable are indeed useful for scientific purposes. Clearly, that's law of nature stuff, okay? But supposing they then say, hey, based on this insight, I come up with a new methodology that allows me to manipulate this in a fashion such that it's useful. I understand, and the patent is useful for that, that I'm doing a hypothetical here. But if they did, aren't they moving along into step two?
Well, first response is really that's not this case.
I understand. That's why it's
a law of nature. But conceptually, you can claim a new application of natural law. That's what happened in the Cells Direct case. That's what happened in the Deere case as well.
So what we're really fighting over here is what's described in the patent as routine and conventional, and that's really the problem that your brethren face.
Well, the problem is that each and every portion of the claim is a law of nature, except for notification, which is a routine post-solution step. Some of the claims also have language about a generic processor and generic memory, but that doesn't save the claim.
I mean, I'm a little confused by your answer that says you can claim a new application of a law of nature, because that seems inconsistent with Arioso, where there was a new discovery of significant presence of fetal DNA, and they claimed the new application of that for testing.
I'll give you an example in the context of the Cells Direct case.
Sure, but that, I know Cells Direct. That is new laboratory techniques.
Correct.
I said methodology.
Well, that's what confuses me, though, because methodology can sometimes be laboratory techniques, but it sometimes can just be another law of nature itself or another abstract idea. If it's a new laboratory technique, I think Cells Direct is controlling, right? But if it's, I found this new law of nature, and I'm going to use another law of nature or an abstract idea like summing to do it, even if that's a new application, does that render it patent eligible?
It doesn't, because you can't in step two point to the same law of nature in step one. And this court's precedent has been very clear on this point. Similarly, as part of step two, requiring standard techniques, such as standard S&P genotyping in this case, to be applied in a standard way can't provide the inventive concept. Thank you.
Your Honor, very, very briefly, the court failed to look at each step. So let me address the standard SNP genotyping argument. As it says, we're not claiming SNPs. That identification of SNPs, SNPs, is common, and that is what is identified in the specification. But using the SNP information, what is described in the specification, and also what is described and claimed in Claim 12, is a new way to go through using that SNP information to identify the IBD. So you're manipulating that SNP information to identify the regions that qualify as IBD. And then, secondly, you go through and identify, and you then go through and add it up. And only from that construct, when you have that information as part of this methodology, can you then make the prediction of the relationship and then notify the end users. This is a new and useful process for relatives to find each other.
Now, you also were relying, your friend referenced the fact that final step of notifying the user was also one of the inventive concepts, an inventive concept. Is that part of your argument to the district court, or here and here too?
The act of identifying the IBD, particularly through, for example, Claim 12, and the concepts of summing were inventive steps that the district court did not address. Secondly, as a whole, the claim, the concept of the notification, further takes the claim out of just an abstract detection, because we're not just detecting relationships. We are using a process here for two individuals to search through a database to find each other. That's new and useful, just like it was in Sales Direct. That's new and useful, just like it was in Macrow for the lip synchronization.
So where do you, identify in the patent the new database search methodology that's different than prior?
The entire specification, following the sentence, I think you have to look, if you want to look at column 6, where they talk about the SNP genotyping. Mm-hmm. If you look at column 6, line 15, it says, the standard SNP-based genotyping technology results in genotype calls, each having two alleles, one from each half of the chromosome pair.
Right.
Okay. That's all that the specification says. It then says, so referring again to a genotype call, refers to the identification of the pair of alleles at a particular location on the chromosome.
I asked about your new
Right. So what follows...
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I asked about your new notification methodology.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Where is that in the patent?
So, for example, at column 3 at the bottom at line 65... up to the top of 4. Also, in the figures, for example, figure 4, it identifies, again, the notification step.
It says Alice or Bob or both.
Yes.
It's notified. What's the new methodology?
What is new is using this step, because we have to look at it as an ordered combination as a whole. What is new are the steps of searching, summing, and then notification. Those are all separate and apart from the actual, if there is a law of nature here, those are all steps and concepts separate and apart, which you pled are new.
Okay. Alice runs into someone at a cocktail party, and they say, you know, you look a lot like my friend Bob. I'm going to drop him a note, see if you guys are related. What's different?
What's different is the way that you go through it and through all the steps of the claim.
We're talking about the notification methodology. What's different?
The notification in and of itself, in the context of the claim, in and of itself, providing notification. But what that does, I mean, really when it comes, the specifics of a notification mm-hmm. in the abstract is not new. In the context of this claim, for two individuals to find each other through a database using the precise procedures, it is new. And so there are separate and inventive concepts that exist separate and apart from the unpatentable subject matter.
Thank you. I thank both sides, and the case is submitted. The last case for argument is 19.